ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm Jo Trilling, and this is Roots and Shoots, ABC Radio Perth's gardening podcast with new episodes twice a week. It's the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike. And Mark Tuchek in to answer all of your gardening questions. Thank you, Amanda, who phoned in to say she was so disappointed we didn't mention the pub, the Boulder Block in Kalgoorlie, because it had a mine shaft in it. Have you ever been out there, Mark?
Oh, that's cool, because I heard a lot of pubs had little tunnels going directly underneath Kalgoorlie, straight up into the pubs. So the miners could actually, spend less time getting to the pub and just
efficiency. Apparently it got swallowed up by the super pit, says Slim, and is no longer. And of course there was the Hyde Park, the Heidi sticky carpet, great culture, Perth subculture. Thank you very much to the person who sent that through. Now to gardening. Mary says, Mark, I have raised garden beds. What do you suggest to line them with to stop the gum tree roots invading the beds? They've got no soil in them at present.
Okay.
What should she do?
Well, you can get weed mat, which is actually perforated, so it lets the water and nutrients through but stops the roots getting through. And sometimes you can actually get this geofabric as well, which is very efficient as well, that you can line the bottom because if you put some good stuff in, the roots will go up into the good stuff and then compete with all the vegetables you're trying to grow. So definitely lining it if you've got trees in the area.
And it looks like Mary's done the preparation. There's no soil in it, so a good opportunity to get the good lining down, stop those roots, and then let the veggies grow.
Definitely, yeah.
Good luck with that, Mary. Karen says, Jo and Mark, I would love to divide my mum's clivias.
Depends on the side of the fence.
And take some for herself, but she's got snails and Karen's on a farm and doesn't have any snails. Is there anything Karen can do to make sure she doesn't transport the snails as she's dividing the clivias, or should she just go out and buy some?
Oh, okay. Well, you can actually, they divide very easily and you can separate them with a sharp spade. If you want to be really sure you haven't got any snails, you can even wash the soil off the roots and just expose all the roots to see if there's any snails' eggs lying around, and make sure you inspect the sheath where the leaves emerge to make sure there are no snails to be transported there. But I think if you just give a good physical inspection, should be enough. You can grind up snail pellets if you want and sprinkle it over, just make sure you wipe out any little transporters.
But so just make sure you give them a really good look over,
yeah,
and then you're okay.
I would have thought so, yeah.
Okay, good luck with that. Jenny's in Swanbourne and she says, Jo and Mark, once spinach, parsley and so on start going to seed, is it possible to reverse the process, or is that a bit too ambitious?
Oh, that's very ambitious. And no, because once they've decided to bolt or set seed, there's no going back from that. Even if you try and cool them down or give them extra liquid fertilizer, once that process has started of flowering, it's too hard to reverse, and we have to just go with the flow.
Okay. That is a shame. You might need to get some more herbs and veggies to plant. Anne has got an elk horn fern. It's about 2 metres tall, growing on an old tree fern trunk, and they need to get rid of it to survive. Can they cut it off at the ground on the existing tree stump, or must it be dug out? Oh, my goodness, that is quite an elk horn. Wow.
It's a whopper. And so it's hard to see actually what it's on. So it must be on a stump of some sort. It's on an old tree fern trunk.
Yeah.
It's going to be very difficult because elk horns, unlike stag horns, elk horns are made up of lots of different rosettes of leaves that come out, and they would be surrounding that whole tree fern. I would take the whole tree fern with it. That'd be easier.
Okay, so cut it off at the bottom.
Yeah.
Is that what you'd suggest, at the bottom of it all, and then move it?
Yeah, they don't have to dig it out.
Okay.
They can just cut it off and transplant
okay,
it.
Okay, I think that's what she wanted to understand. Does it need to be dug out or just cut? So you don't need to do the digging.
No, either way.
Yep. Fantastic.
Yep.
Now, Emily from Broom Hill has got a climber rose, which is looking rather unwell. It started off flowering well, but it's developed all those brown spots that you can see on the leaves, and all the leaves are impacted. It's on the eastern side of the house, and Emily's got another on the western side which isn't impacted. Could it be powdery mildew, or have you got any suggestions to help other than cutting it right back to the base?
Yeah, there's a few problems going on here too. So it's got some sap-sucking pests in there as well, because they're causing these kind of little black dots, and that's kind of sooty mold, which is another fungal disease that grows on roses. But it's also got powdery mildew, she's quite right. So what's happened is it's probably a bit too shady. It's getting moist at night, whether it's through reticulation or rain, and that's contributing to both the fungal disease and the also aphids setting in on it. So the best way to do would be to thin it out, thin out all these old leaves. They're not going to recover. And unfortunately, if it can't get more sun, which they'll prefer, then it's going to struggle and be prone to this at certain times of the year. Usually spring and autumn are probably the time. It'll probably clear up a bit during summer.
Okay, Emily, hopefully that helps. Catherine would like to know if you can tell her if you think it's a caterpillar or a grasshopper eating her plant. And she says she's included a photo of whatever the said culprit's excrement is. Can you see on that, see the little black?
The little black dots.
Does that help? Can you see that?
Yeah, it's a bit hard. I'm not an excrement specialist.
Or an entomologist.
No.
Entomologist.
They look a bit caterpillar-like. I'd go with a caterpillar. And, yeah, well, they'll come and go. So, obviously, they're in and around that plant. So, if you have a good look around, you'll be able to find them, I would have thought, with excrement that size.
Yeah, it looks like it must be a rather large creepy crawly.
Yeah, so either it's done the work and taken off, or if it's still there, it's squashable. And I'd just do that.
Okay, let's just go back to the raised garden bed issue, I think, because Renelle's saying the tree roots are really fine and they go straight through the weed mat and geotech. They've tried both. It's very sad. They even put in three layers of geotech.
What?
Have you got any other ideas?
Was there any photos with that?
Oh, no. I think it was, we started off talking about somebody saying that they've got something going on with the root system.
Okay. All right. So in that case then, because, you know, getting a few fine roots through weed mats, not such an issue, but the best way to do that then, if you've really got consistent problems, is to put an air layer in the bottom of that. So put weed mat down. And then what you want to do is either put some pavers or bricks and then put a base in the raised garden bed. And so effectively you've got an air layer in between the roots and the good stuff. And then what happens there is the roots become air pruned and they won't penetrate into the base of the – but it does involve getting some kind of base material, so – a bit of corrugated iron or something like that with some holes drilled in it and some pavers underneath just to provide that air barrier and to stop them penetrating.
Fantastic. Jen's in Albany, Mark, and a friend gave her a suckling off her lime tree and she's had it a few years. It's not fruiting. Has it got a chance or?
No. And a suckling is either a sucker, which is the rootstock of a lime. So if it's shooting from the trunk, that bit on the bottom is actually not the lime. So you're going to end up with rootstock, which is just a kind of rubbishy citrus. They use it as triforte. So what they do is they find the fruit with the good benefits and they graft it onto the rootstock, which is good at making roots. And so
maybe just move on, get another lime tree. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I would go out and buy a lime tree that's grafted and make sure it doesn't shoot from below the graft.
David, we're going to head to Tewett Hill. I think David's got an issue with his lemons. Here we go. David, good afternoon. Tell us what's happening with your lemon trees.
I was inundated with wall wasp last year and gall wasp, yes. And yep. So I asked my local nursery and I pruned them right back because they were quite healthy trees, and they've come on again nicely. And I've been to Bunnings and I've got some bird netting to cover them. But then I also read that it's too early to net them because they haven't started to bud or do anything yet. And of course, the bees won't be able to get in and pollinate. So is that what I do? Do I wait until they're budding and they're all full of flower and then I net them?
Okay. You've got two different things going on here. You're either worried about getting the gall wasp again, which attacks the stems of the plants.
And I'm inundated with grasshoppers too, so it's keeping the grasshoppers off, you know, chewing the leaves to pieces.
Yes. So generally to save the fruit, then you can actually net the fruit, but you have to let the birds and the bees do their things so they can pollinate the flowers. And then once the fruit starts to form, you only need to net as the fruit starts to change colour, because that's when fruit fly can prick it, because they don't prick the fruit when it's small, hard and green.
Right. Okay.
But gall wasp is a different proposition altogether.
I think you dealt with the gall wasp, didn't you, David? You pruned it right back.
Well, I pruned it. I pruned it because, I mean, everyone around this area has got a Eureka lemon tree in their backyard.
Yeah.
And, of course, there are some people that haven't bothered, you know, and, of course, I've got a neighbour that's, you know, I mean, the gall wasps are massive, you know, they've just taken over the tree. And of course, I don't know if that spreads to other trees around. So I'm trying to protect mine. And I'm not quite sure how you then, you know, I've been using neem oil and stuff like that to try and...
Oh, David, hats off to you for giving it such a go. It's tricky when you're being attacked with two different things.
And if your neighbours aren't doing anything, that's certainly not helping the situation as well. But Sabrina has a very good article on gall wasp on her website.
Oh, okay, David, that's good advice. Just pop Sabrina Hahn and gall wasp into a search engine, and that has got fantastic advice for you. And hopefully you manage to stomp on those ginormous grasshoppers and give the plant an opportunity to grow a bit more. Let's go and have a chat to Nola. What's happening with your peach tree, Nola?
Oh, hi. I was just wondering, my peach tree is setting fruit right now, but some of the leaves are looking like they have a bit of a nutrient deficiency, and I wondered what I should fertilise it with so that the fruit don't drop off.
Okay. Are the leaves curling at all? Do they look like they're curling a bit? Like kind of bumpy?
No, they're pretty nice. Everything looks pretty healthy, except they're just sort of a little bit losing their colour along the veins, very slightly.
Okay. Whereabouts are you located? Where do you live?
In Rossmoyne.
Rossmoyne. That's the thing, because peaches and nectarines and all those kind of fruiting trees are gross feeders, it does help if you can actually incorporate a bit of fertiliser in order to support fruit development, because what happens is if they're putting all their energy into the fruit, they'll suck it out of somewhere, you know, if there's not enough nutrients in the ground. I would use a good balanced fertiliser with a bit of potassium to help with fruit development, and it's more important to do that than to actually green up the leaves at this stage. So a fertiliser that's a bit higher in potassium, which is K, if you go through the fertilisers in your local garden centre and just flip the back and have a look, you'll be on the right path that way.
Good luck with that, Nola. Julie's down in Denmark. Hi, Julie.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I've got I think it's called a wedding star. It's in full bloom at the moment, native, very perfumed. Several months ago, because we've had a lot of rain down here in the last couple of months, it was getting this white foam stuff coming out. And I thought it was only from one of the higher branches, but it seems to be coming from all over it now, and it's very, very soggy at the base.
Oh, okay. So what you may have is a plant called Ricinocarpus, which is also called wedding bush. It's got little white star flowers, very prolific flowering. Yep.
Yes.
And so you're noticing foam coming out of the trunk. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Have you actually seen if there's like an insect, a little bug in that those little lumps of foam, or is it coming out of...
Oh, I haven't looked. It's coming out of too many places now.
Oh, gosh.
I thought it had stopped for a while, but it seemed to be quite bad again this week.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So have you noticed any, like, cracks in the trunk or any holes in the stems of it?
No, where it first started was in a join, and my daughter said, oh, cut it off. And I said, well, it's way up in the middle, and we had trimmed it last season. I've seen people make hedges out of it, and you trim it right back because it's quite big now. It'd be 5 or 6 metres tall now, and it's really lovely, but all this foam, white foam.
Well, I reckon that could actually be a pest rather than – because the other issue it could be if there was if it's getting overwatered and things like that and there's cracks in the stem, you know, it can push out water that way. But there is a little pest that gets I'll have to kind of think about it now. But they'll actually they'll be there for a short period of time and then they'll go away.
Are they very detrimental to the plant?
They will be because, if they're in kind of plague proportions, they will... Obviously, the plant might be struggling in some way, so it's not as healthy as it should
be. Julie, what we might do is just text you back with the name of that little bug, and then you can have a look and see if it matches up with what you're noticing, and then hopefully you can approach it with that info. Kelvin is in Floreat, and are you trying to grow some chilli plants, Kelvin?
Yeah, I've been doing them for maybe 3 years. Now, the first year I did them, they went gangbusters. Made lots of chili sauce. And then the last year, they all died after the leaves started to curl up. So they're sort of, I turned it back a little bit, and then they put out these new leaves, but on one side, they were all curled up, and then they just all died.
And when did they die? When did that start happening?
So it was about a year ago, so I was expecting them to come back and start fruiting again, but it looked like when they were coming back into fruit, they hit it there. They all of a sudden, just the leaves all curled up and that was it.
Yeah, well, chilies actually, some of them, they really go backwards during winter, during the cold, wet months, and so if you can get them to survive through that, then they'll usually recover and grow quite well. They do run out of steam after a few years anyway. So once the bush, gets to 4 or 5 years old, they'll just, run out of steam and you won't get as many chilies. So it's a good idea to save the seeds, get some new ones on the go. Yours in pots or in the ground, Kevin?
They're in a planter box. So, they've got a bit of room.
Yeah, this is the time of year they should recover. They like the warm weather, so now's the time to fertilise them. And use a wetting agent on them. And if they don't come good over this warm period, I'd be looking at trying to replace them, for the following spring.
Fantastic.
They just run out of steam.
Now, Julie, hopefully you're still listening. Mark did a little bit of searching, and it might be a spittle bug that builds this sort of bubbly fortress, Julie. So if you pop spittle bug into a search engine and have a look for that, then you might know exactly what you're dealing with and you can hopefully sort it out. Just one final quick question in a minute, Mark. Sandy and Crather wants to grow a hibiscus from a cutting. She's got a low lateral branch that she wants to cut off. Can you grow hibiscus from a cutting?
You can, and do it a couple of different ways. You can take medium wood cuttings, so that's the bit, not the soft bit right on the end, but where the wood starts to change colour from kind of green into purple, that shade. So take medium wood cuttings. Or you can even, in fact, layer it where you can actually, if it's a lower branch, you can actually bend it down, put it in the soil, make a cut and peg it down. And from that cut, you'll actually get roots growing. Once that happens, then you can actually just chop it off entirely. But, usually pretty easy to propagate hibiscus.
Fantastic. Mark, thank you very much for that. And I think we pretty much got through. No, I don't think I've got time to do Betty's question. She's saying, is it a friend or a foe? But time is running against us. Mark, can you in 5 seconds determine whether Betty has got a friend or foe in her garden? We need an entomologist. These are all very...
That's a foe. That's
oh, okay.
A Pittosporum beetle, Pittosporum beetle.
Okay, there you go, Betty. It's a foe. Get rid of it. Stomp on it. Crunch it. Do whatever you need to do to get rid of that bug. Thank you so much for that, Mark. We will hopefully see you again next week. Mark Tushak answering all of your gardening questions. Thanks for listening. You can join us live on Tuesdays from 2:30 in the afternoon. Just head to abc.net.au/Perth, or you can listen to ABC Perth on DAB+. Or 7:20 a.m. on your radio. You can text your questions in on 0437 922 720, or call us, have a chat, 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back on the weekend to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on your favourite podcast player and share the episodes with your friends.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.